We are in the Nishmas Avram's introduction to Aruch Chaim Shin Chaf Ches, and we're up to, it should be, I think, the first page that that I gave you in the Nishmas Avram document. The start of it, it should be listed as Shin Sadi, as the number in the top right corner. Does everyone have that? It's Malach Hashem Netzricha Legufa. Okay? All right. So, we're in his introduction of what we can do for different categories of illness, and specifically, he's dealing with Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, somebody who is ill, but not dangerously so. Their life is not in danger. However, they are very ill. So we had already talked about violating a de'oraisa, performing an act that is biblically prohibited, but doing it with a shinui, doing it in an unusual way. And we brought a range of halachic authorities who allow it. And then we get to the topic of Malacha She'ina Tzvicha Lagufa, and this requires some explanation before we actually read what the Nishmas Avram is going to say. So the general rule is that in order to be liable for Malacha performed on Shabbos, it has to be done in a way that matches what was done in the Mishkan for that particular kind of Malacha, which means that you have the same method and the same purpose as what was done in the Mishkan. Now, there's some variation on that, avos and toldos, which aren't necessary for us to go through right now. But as an example, and the example that's most relevant for our discussion that we're having now, if a person lights a candle, so that's a malacha. What about if a person extinguishes a candle? So it depends. If you extinguish a candle in the way that they extinguished in the Mishkan, then you're biblically liable. And what that means is they would extinguish a flame, not a candle, but an oil flame, because they wanted to make charcoal out of the wick. That was why you would extinguish the flame. So if I extinguish it for some other purpose, such as I extinguish it because I want to, I want there to be darkness in the room so that somebody will be able to sleep, then it's not being done for the same purpose as what was done in the Mishkan, and that's called Malacha She'ina Tzricha Legufa, a Malacha that you're not doing for its own sake, you're doing it for a different purpose. Everyone follow that? A Malacha that's done for a purpose other than the one that was done in the Mishkan. Another example of that is if you dig a hole, not because you want the hole, but because you want the dirt. So that's Malacha She'nitzvicha Legufa. Digging a hole would be the Malacha if you wanted to have a hole. If I don't care about having a hole, I just want the dirt that was in the hole, that's Malacha She'nitzvicha Legufa. So the rule is that Malacha She'nitzvicha Legufa is prohibited on Shabbos, but we usually assume prohibited specifically rabbinically. There's a debate, but that's what we hold, that it's prohibited rabbinically. Everyone good with that so far? We didn't get to the complicated part. Okay. So the question becomes, we're going to see that you are allowed to do acts that are rabbinically prohibited on Shabbos, ideally with a shinui, on behalf of a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. You have somebody who, is bedbound with a migraine. You're allowed to do malachos that are prohibited rabbinically. We really would rather you do it with a shinui, but if need be, like we said when I introduced before we got into the Nishmas Avram, even without a shinui, if need be. However, not all derabbanans are created equal. And what we're going to see is that Malacha She'ina Tzvicha Legufa will not be allowed. So, practical ramification, I would not be allowed to turn off a light to extinguish a candle in order to enable a chole she'en bo sakana to sleep, even though it's rabbinic. So we just said you can do things that are rabbinically prohibited in order to take care of a chole she'en bo sakana. And now I'm adjusting that and saying, well, actually not so fast. That's not always true. Melacha she'netzricha legufa is not allowed for a chole she'en bo sakana. How do I know that? So I know it because the Nishmas Avram is going to say it. How does the Nishmas Avram know it? So if you take a look at the second sheet, not the Nishmas Avram sheet, but the other sheet, and I'm putting the link in the chat again for those who joined since I last posted it, you want source Aleph on the sheet. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Mishnah hopefully sounds familiar. This is from Perek Bamem Adlikin. We say it in Shul Friday night. Hamechabez haner, someone who extinguishes a lamp, mipneishu misyarei mipnei nachrim, because he's afraid of non-Jews who might attack him, mipnei listim, because of bandits, mipnei ruach ra'ah, because of ruach ra'ah, which we're not getting into right now, but the Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnah assumes it's a form of depression, mipnei hachole sheyishan, or to enable someone who is ill to sleep, in all of those cases, patur, you are exempt from liability. You're not supposed to do it, but if you do it, you're not going to be punished. That's usually something we apply for rabbinic, for violations of rabbinic law. Kechas al haner, if a person does it because he wants to save the wick, kechas al hashemen, he wants to save the oil, not the wick, he wants to save the lamp itself. If it's kechas al hashemen, he wants to save the oil, kechas al apsila, because he wants to save the wick, chayev, then he's going to be liable. That's your Mishnah. Says the Gemara, we have a question. I'll ask you the question before we see what the Gemara does with it. We've said that Mishnah any number of times, right? Thanks to it being in Bamei Adlikin. What level chola are they talking about here? What level ill person is this? Is this somebody who's dangerously ill? Is it chola she'en bo sakana? What is this person? So I'll tell you right off the bat, it's not chole she'yesh bo sakana. It's not someone who's dangerously ill. How do you know that? Because the
if they were dangerously ill, you'd be able to do it.
Yeah, it wouldn't say putter, it would say mutter. Right? It would say it's entirely allowed. It would say, go ahead, put out the candle. It didn't say that. So it can't be talking about someone who's dangerously ill. So then the question is, so where is this person on the hierarchy? So take a look at the Gemara. Midiksani seifa chayav. First of all, it said if you're doing it to spare the lamp, the oil, the wick, then you're chayav. You're liable for doing so. Even though those are in cases in which you're generating charcoal for yourself. And yet it says chayav. Shma mina Rabbi Yehuda. That means this Mishnah is taking the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, you're actually liable for biblically. That's Rabbi Yehuda's view. I told you before that we think it's a derabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's a deoraisa. You're liable for that. But then the Gemara says, Reisha b'maya sikna, what is the case in the first part, the part about this person who's ill? What is the case there? If we're talking about somebody who is dangerously ill, then mutter mibayale. It should say mutter. It should say, as Rabbi said, you're allowed to put out the candle for this person to sleep. And if you're talking about somebody who is not dangerously ill, then chayev chatas mibayale. Since it's Rabbi Yehuda talking, Rabbi Yehuda believes malacha she'enet tzricha legufa is biblically prohibited. So therefore, this isn't just patur. You have to bring a carbon chatas. It's a violation of biblical law. So the Gemara's answer is, la'olam b'chole she'yesh bo sakana. The answer is, our Mishnah is talking about somebody who's dangerously ill. Well, then why did it say patur instead of mutter? Ubedinu de listni mutter. It should have said mutter. You're right, Rabbi. It should have said mutter. Va'aydi de boy le misni seifa chayav tananami reisha patur. There are certain words in Hebrew that get together as pairs. So asur goes together with mutter. They're opposites, but they get used in tandem. Patur goes together with chayav. Chayav means you're liable, like you're going to get punished. Patur means you won't get punished. So they use the word patur because in the other case here, it says chayav, the case of the person who wants to spare the lamp. We say chayav. So all right, so it's chayav versus patur. But really, says the Gemara, we're talking about a chole sheyesh bo sakana. We're talking about somebody who is dangerously ill. Everyone clear? Except those who just joined, but everybody else is clear? So what we're getting out of this Gemara right now is, we're in source Aleph on the separate sheet. What we're getting out of this Gemara right now is that the Mishnah in Bamei Madlikin that says that you're allowed to put out a candle to enable somebody to sleep if he's ill is talking about chole sheyesh bo sakana, is talking about somebody who is dangerously ill. That's the point. Last line of source Aleph. V'haditani Rabbi Oshia, im b'shvil achole sheyishan lo yechabev im kava pater aval asur. Rabbi Oshia had a separate lesson in which he said, if you are extinguishing it for the sake of a patient so that the patient can sleep, you're not supposed to do it. If you do it, pater aval asur, it's rabbinically prohibited. Not biblically prohibited, but rabbinically. Hahi b'chola she'ein bo sakana for Rabbi Shimon hi. That's talking about chola she'ein bo sakana, and it's consistent with the view of Rabbi Shimon, who says that malacha she'nitzvicha legufa is rabbinically prohibited. So the upshot of Source Aleph, what I wanted you to get out of Source Aleph, is that the classic Mishnah that says you are allowed to extinguish a candle to enable an ill person to sleep is talking about specifically a dangerously ill person, chole sheyesh bo sakana. In the event that it's chole she'ein bo sakana, then no, you're chayiv midirabbanan. It's only dirabbanan because we follow Rabbi Shimon, but you're liable midirabbanan. You're not allowed to do it. So now I go back to what I said when we started, whatever it was, 12 minutes ago, which is, you told me, Torchiner, that for chole she'ein bo sakana, you're allowed to violate dirabbanans, right, ideally with a shinui, then why am I not allowed to put out the candle? It's malacha she'nitzvicha legufa. We say malacha she'nitzvicha legufa is only prohibited rabbinically. Apparently, and this is the key lesson, not all dirabbanans are created equal. We allow certain dirabbanans for a chole she'ein bo sakana. We do not allow all dirabbanans for a chole she'ein bo sakana. So that if you look at source Beis on that sheet, Mutter lechabos haner bishvil sheyishan achole sheyesh bo sakana. The Shulchan Aruch is explicit. You are allowed to put out a candle for the sake of the sleep of someone who is dangerously ill, but only if he is dangerously ill. That's the idea. Look at the Mishnah Berurah in Source Gimel. He says, V'kasvu ha'acharonim, later authorities have written, Dehu adin bishvil cholashu safek sakana gamkin mutter lechabos. If you have somebody who might be dangerously ill, you also could put out the candle. Right? We've already learned that. We learned when I did my introduction that we treat safek pikuach nefesh like pikuach nefesh. So even if it's safek sakana, you can do that. Avo bishvil cholash she'ein bo sakana, but if the person is not dangerously ill, asur lechabos lechule alma, everybody agrees you're not allowed to put it out. Even within the view of Rabbi Shimon, who says Malacha she'en etzvicha legufa is only a derabbanan, it's still prohibited rabbinically. That's the idea. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings. We don't need the rest of the Mishnah Berurah right now. So that's my introduction to what the Nishmas Avram is going to teach us. So now let's cut over to the Nishmas Avram. We're still going to need the other sheet, but now we can at least make some ground in it. So we're on the page. It should be the first page. If you downloaded it fresh this week with the link that I used this week, I only gave you the sheets that we're actually using tonight. So the sheet, if you're using the full set that I uploaded last week, then you want the page that starts Shin Sadi, as the page number. That's what you want. Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is the heading at the start of the page. Amnam, muter li Yisrael lavur al yisurei derabanan al yedei shinui. He says, a Jew is allowed for cholash en bosakana to violate rabbinic prohibitions using a shinui. That's the ideal. Ach, however, malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, kigon kibui ner, if it's malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, like putting out the candle, vaday asur la'asosa avur cholash she'en bosakana. You are not allowed to do that for cholash she'en bosakana. Not allowed. And then he says, I think even with a shinui, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. He says, to see the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, who says the same thing. The truth of the matter is, we read the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura did not say that there's a problem with extinguishing it if you use a shinui. The Mishnah Brura didn't raise the shinui question at all. Right? Everyone with me? This is the problem with switching over to Zoom, because certain things, it's easier to get a read of who's following if you're doing it in person, especially for those whose screens are off. But he says, the Mishnah Brura never mentioned the word shinui. So how do I know that I can't do a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa with a shinui? How do you know that that's not okay? So he says, I'll explain to you. Ach nira lechora shekein kavanaso. He says, it appears to me that that is what the Mishnah Berurah means. Ki halau avur chola she'en bo sakana muter li Yehudi lasos kol malacha derabanan al yedei shinui. He makes a logical argument. He says, listen, when it comes to regular derabanans, regular role derabanans, we said that you're allowed to do them for a chol she'en bo sakana with a shinui. So if you were allowed to also do malacha she'nitzvicha legufa for him with a shinui, malacha she'nitzvicha legufa would be like any other derabanan. And you know it's not. We're saying that it's stricter than other derabanans. So it must be other derabanans you're allowed to do with a shinui for a chol she'en bo sakana. Malacha she'nitzvicha legufa you're not allowed to do with a shinui for a chol she'en bo sakana. So the upshot of this is, you have somebody who's sick. The light is on in the room. You want to put out the light. You say, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to do that. It's malacha she'nitzvicha legufa. All right, so I'll use the back of my hand. I'll do it as a shinui, with a shinui. He's going to say no. Malacha she'nitzvicha legufa, even with a shinui, not okay for this patient. That's what the Nishmas of Ram is deducing here. You follow? Okay. He then says, He refers you to a separate point, which I should really explain before we start it, because it's related to this. It's going to cause a little bit of confusion, but healthy confusion, I think. If you take a look back on the other sheet, not the Nishmas Avram, but the other sheet, at source Dalet, Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Shin Beis, Harochetz Yadav, you wash your hands on Shabbos. He's discussing the problem of the malacha of milabein. What is milabein? What is milabein?
Like wash, like bleach something?
Yeah, so to bleach something, exactly. Yeah. To bleach something, to make it white, to clean it. So his question that the Shulchan Aruch is going to deal with is, if I wash my hands and then I dry them on a towel, am I cleaning the towel? That's the question. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Harochetz yadav, someone washes his hands, Tov lenagvam bekoach zu bezu, ulahasir mehem hamayim kefiya cholaso, kodem shekanchem bemapa. He says it would be better for you to wipe your hands against each other first, get rid of as much water as you can, before you dry them on the towel. That's the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo. Haga, but then you get to the Rama, and he says, V'yesha kasvu de'ein lachush lazeh. Others have written, this is not a concern. Why not? De'lo amrinan shriyas beged zeu kibusa b'chi ha'gavna. He says, it's true we have a principle that soaking a towel or soaking a garment is an act of cleaning it, but that doesn't apply to drying your hands on a towel. De'ein zerak derech lichluch. Because he says, drying your hands on a towel makes the towel dirty, not cleaner. This isn't the way you clean your towel, right? I can envision some guy in his room in yeshiva thinking he's cleaned his towel by wiping his wet hands on it. But generally speaking, that's not the way it works. This is called dirtying the towel, says the Rama. V'chei Noah, again, he says, that's our practice. He says, we're not concerned that this is called washing the towel. But the Bir Halacha, which is written by the Mishnah Berurah in most cases, sometimes by his son-in-law, but if you take a look at Sor's Hay, he deals with a question that's relevant for our conversation about Malacha She'enet Tzvicha L'gufa for somebody who is ill. In order to read this, you have to remember one thing. A child, a sufficiently young child, has automatic status as a Chola She'en Bo Sakana for all of their needs. Right? We debated whether that means any kid up to any age. Is it when they're 2 or 3 years old? But for our purposes, we're talking about a child who is young enough to be considered a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. So look at the discussion in Hay. Vihine. Le'inyin rechitzas tinok b'yom tov b'mayim chamin. Regarding bathing a child on Yom Tov in hot water, shebechol, during the week, derech hu lahatzia mitachtav hamitpachas. Normally what you would do if you were washing a kid is you'd have a towel underneath the kid. Ba'areva sherochtzin oso ba, in the bowl, the tub, where you bathe the kid. This was their practice. They didn't put the kid down directly in the tub. They had a towel beneath him. So that towel is obviously going to get wet. He says, that's what they do. You can't wash a tiny kid without that towel as a protection. Ubi Yom Tov, but now you get to Yom Tov, which is his discussion. Halo yesh baze iser kibus. There's a problem of laundering that towel. Deshara osam b'mayim. It's soaked in water. Ach efshar lirchotz beloze, but you can't wash the kid without it. Yesh lahatir. So he says you could permit that. Ba'ofen sheyihyu havindalin nikiyim mechubasim. He says, I'll tell you what you do. Wash the kid and have the towel under the kid be a freshly laundered towel. Why? Diladeya harishona ein behem mishum kibus. Because he says, there is a view that says that soaking a towel is not called laundering it anyway. Va'af l'das hayesh osrin, and even with those who prohibit it, af benikiyim, even with a clean towel, they said, efshar d'derech lichluchu. We could argue that here, this is in the manner of dirtying it. A freshly clean towel that's under the kid when you're bathing the kid is not getting cleaner, it's getting dirtier. That's the idea. And he goes on to discuss this. And the kid is a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. But then he says something interesting, actually. I do need to see a little more of this. He says, if you look in paragraph Hey, the one line up from the bottom, at the comma, V'tinok zeh. V'tinok zeh havik Chola She'en Bo Sakana. This child is treated like a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. Imhu ragil berechitza, if normally he would get bathed. D'yesh lahatir iser derabanan bishvilo. And we allow rabbinic prohibitions for him. Umitam ze ein les or mishum shema yischot. And therefore you don't prohibit the bathing, you know, lest you squeeze out something, lest you squeeze out the towel, because the kid is treated as a chola, and you're going to be careful not to do this. So here's the problem. Here's the challenge and the reason why we mentioned this issue. The Bir Halacha allows me to wash a baby with the towel below it, right? He allows me to wash the baby with the towel below it, even though I'm going to end up cleaning the towel, right? He's allowing me. why don't I view this as malacha she'nitzricha lagufa, like the case of putting out the light in the room, and I should prohibit it, even though the child is a cholesh she'ein bo sakana. We are now saying that cholesh, that malacha she'nitzricha lagufa is not allowed for a cholesh she'ein bo sakana. Why is this case different? So go back into the Nishmas Avram where he's going to explain this. He says, we're in that first column on page Shin Sadi. Va'ayin b'bir alacha, simin shin beis se'if yud, it's what we just read, dibur ha'maschil delo. Shekosev sham b'pshitus, diyesh lahatir lasos malacha shenitzvicha lagufa avortinok sheyesh lo din shachola shein bo sakana. He writes straight out that you're allowed to do this malacha shenitzvicha lagufa for the sake of the child, because the child is a chola shein bo sakana. V'gam sham lo kosev shetzarech b'shinoi, he doesn't even need a shinoi. V'tzarech iyun, I don't understand, he says. Why is that? So he gives you an answer. I'm not going to ask you to try to answer it. We're going to take Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach giving us an answer. He says, V'kasav li agon Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach zatzal, Rosh Shlomo Zalman wrote to me, Borur hadavar, it is clear, she'im mechavein mamash lechabos davka asur, kemavur begemara b'shulchan aruch. He says, you're bringing me two very different cases. In the case of putting out the light, you intend to put out the light. Right? It's malacha shenitzricha lagufa because you're putting it out for different reasons, but you intend to put out the light. Ulam bekibus, but in the laundry case, bekibus hamitpachos, when you're cleaning this rag that you have underneath the kid, she'ein ze bechavana, that's not, you're not trying to wash the rag, that's not why you're doing it. Rak ayidei psikresha, it's just a guaranteed result of your action that it will get wet. Shapir matir mishnah brura binikim. Then the mishnah brura, yes, it will say, okay, that's fine. Especially he wanted you to use a clean towel. Ula prima gadim gam b'mluchlachim b'shas hadchak, and the prima gadim allows it even in a case of need. You could use even a dirty one, and that's fine. Why? Because you're not trying to do it. That's the difference between the cases. So the upshot for us, and the point that matters for us, is that generally, malacha she'ina tzvicha lagufa is not allowed for the sake of echola she'ein bo sakana. That's the point. And now he returns to that. Yes, Robbie.
So just out of curiosity, I don't know why they put a towel under babies years ago, but certainly when I had my babies, we put the towel under the baby for safety reasons so the baby wouldn't slip.
Mm. So if you had a real safety concern, then you would want to use it. You would have to use it. I mean, if it's a safety issue for the kid, that's then yes, that's necessary.
And the question is, why are we bathing the kid on Shabbos? But if...
Yeah, well, this is a Yom Tov case, and you'd have to look at it in context to find out why, but clearly they considered it to be necessary for the kid. U'b'ketzos ha'sholchan kosev. He then quotes a sefer called the Ketzos ha'sholchan, which is on the laws of Shabbos. And the Ketzos HaShulchan says, Va'asur lechabos ner b'shvil chola she'en bo sakana sheyuchal lishon. You're not allowed to put out a candle for the sake of this patient who's not in danger to enable him to sleep. K'mefurish b'gemara Shabbos daf lamed, like we saw in that gemara that I brought you in source Aleph on the sheet. Afil lehamatir m'shvus lechola she'en bo sakana asur lechabos. Even within the view that permits derabanans for chola she'en bo sakana, still not allowed to put out the candle. Because extinguishing a flame is malacha she'ena tzvicha lagufa, and that is stricter than other derabanans. That's what he says. He concludes his thought on this by saying, ulam, however, bida'as Torah, the sefer called Da'as Torah, kosev. Ayin shud gur Arya Yehuda chelik orachaim kuvzayin shepasek tegam litzarech olish embo sakana mutter lechabos hanera yedei shinoi kevin davirak yisidur abanan. He says there is such a view that says no, that you're allowed to. Vishkin pasek besefer shulchan atzei shitim v'uchochek tzas baze ayin sham. He says there are others who disagree and say it is allowed. Okay. Last note within this. Actually, this is it's a really, all right, let's do this point, and then I'm going to come back to where I was going to go. He says, Ach re'e le'el, but he says, see earlier, Simon Reish Ayin Chesiv Katan Dalid, See what I brought earlier in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Shekol zeka shemidubar bekiboy or shel shava o shemen o kayotze bazeh shebekibuyo o sepecham. He says, when I've been telling you that malacha shein tzvicha legufa isn't allowed and therefore you can't put out the candle, that's talking about a wax candle. That's talking about an oil lamp. The type of thing where when you extinguish it, you generate charcoal on the wick, which is useful for the next time. Ach bekiboy or shel chashmal, but if you're dealing with electric light, ein ba'ela iser derabanan, now it's only an iser derabanan to put it out. You haven't improved anything. Uksha osa zos ayide shinui, and when you do it with a shinui, dahainu begav hayad o begav haetzpa, you use the back of your hand, the back of your finger, ein kan ela trei derabanan. Now it's a double derabanan. It's a derabanan because putting it out in the first place is only rabbinically prohibited, and you're doing it with a shinui. Shemuter letzarche cholish embo sakana, then you can do it for this cholish embo sakana v'afilu al yidei Yisrael, even if a Jew does it. So he says, with electric lights, this isn't so relevant. With electric lights, you'll be better off. Do it with a shinui, but you will be able to do it. Okay, this was a little bit in depth, but was it clear? Where he's going is going to be a lot easier. Okay. I also brought you, we don't need to see it right now, but I brought you on the sheet, Sor Zion is just one line from the Magen Avram, in which the Magen Avram writes, just this point that we've been saying, not all derabanans are created equal. That the Melacha Shenitzvicha Legufa is going to be treated more strictly than other derabanans in the case that we're seeing here. Yes, Michael. I don't hear you. You're not muted, but I don't hear you. Not getting you. I don't know why. You're not on mute. I don't know. I don't know if you want to disconnect and reconnect or write it in the chat. Okay, so write it in the chat. While Michael is typing, the next topic that he's going to do, this was the last point that the Nishmas Avram made regarding Cholesh Embo Sakana. Now he's going to move along to the issue of Sakanas Aver. So remember how we defined Sakanas Aver? We said danger to a part of the body that it won't function, that it will be permanently dysfunctional because it wasn't treated on Shabbos. So we're now going to see the Nishmas Avram say it. So Michael writes, are we supposed to know which are the rabbinic prohibitions and which ones are deoraisa? So yes, that's something we need to know. I mean, the basic principle is you can knock any biblical prohibition down to a rabbinic one by doing it with a shinui, doing it in an unusual way. That's an automatic knockdown to a derabanan. We hold Melacha Shenitzvicha Legufa as a derabanan. It's just not as lenient as other derabanans, which is a thornier question of how do you know which derabanans are stricter and which derabanans are more lenient. And that's something you pick up as you go along. We will get into a discussion, I believe, about, I think we actually, maybe I did it in the introduction earlier, I don't remember. On Amira La'akum, telling a non-Jew to do something, is more lenient. That's a derabanan also, but it's more lenient than doing something that's rabbinically prohibited yourself. So, yeah, there are categories of derabanans. Okay. So, Sakanas Aver, take a look on the sheet, and then we're now back in the Nishmas Avram. He says, Muva b'Shulchan Aruch. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Dim yesh bo sakanas ever. If there is such a danger to a body part, muter lasos avroi surei Torah yidei nachri. You would be allowed to violate biblical prohibitions via a non-Jew. You could ask a non-Jew to do things that are biblically prohibited. V'gam muter liYehudi lasos avur achola isurei derabanan below shinui. And a regular Jew could do derabanans for this person. No shinui required. And he doesn't make any distinction about Malach HaShem Nitzvicha Leguva here. He just says, you can do the Rabbanans on behalf of this person. So practical case could be, let's say you had somebody who lost a tooth. And let's say you call a tooth an Aver. That's actually a discussion we're going to need to have. But let's say you say that a tooth is considered an Aver. So mixing cement to be able to reseat the tooth is a De'oraisa. I can't do that. However, a non-Jew would be allowed to do that. So that would be a case of Sakanas Aver and having a non-Jew do a De'oraisa. So he says, Videya zu ikar, she das rova poskim. This view that you're allowed to do the rabbanans is the correct view. That's the view that is adopted by most poskim. Ve'ein liyehudi lavral isurei Torah. Kol she'ein chashash al takanas nefashos ha'alula lihispateach mizeh. He says, you don't do a biblically prohibited act as long as there's no concern that this could lead, that this Sakanas Aver could lead to Pikuach Nefesh. Remember that when we talked about Sakanas Aver, we said in practice, most Sakanas Aver cases can lead to danger to life if left untreated. So whether because of gangrene issues or whether because of blood loss, like a lot of Sakanas Aver cases do have that potential. Lu'umadzo, but now he says something very interesting. He says, against that, or on the other side of things, is besakanas ayin, is danger to the eye. Remember we talked about the eye being linked to the heart and the oculocardiac reflex and all of that? So he says, when you're dealing with danger to the eye, va'afilu sakana shi'aved rak ayin achas, even if it's just danger that he'll lose just one eye, hakavana leguf ha'ayin, by which we mean the physical eye. We don't mean loss of sight. We're going to get to loss of sight. But right now we mean loss of the physical eye. Mechalin es hashabas afilu beisurei Torah. Dehu kechol eshiyesh bo sakana. So for that, we would override Shabbos, even de'oraisas. Because we treat the patient who is going to lose an eye like chol eshiyesh bo sakana. And that, again, that's that Gemara in Avodah Zarah that we saw. And then he says, see the Chochma Shlomo. So I'm going to ask you to see the Chochma Shlomo. I brought it on your sheet in source Zion. It's a long source, but let's see how much of it we can do. He says, Hine Nishalti. He says, I was asked. Bemisha Nilke al Einav Becholei Hasanveirim. Okay, Sanveirim. May we be familiar if you remember the story of Sodom. Sanveirim means blindness. So somebody is not losing his eye as in the physical plant. The eye is remaining in his head. However, he's going blind. Hanikra, and it's called, and it gives you a Yiddish usage. This is the Chochma Shlomo of Shlomo Kluger. So 18th century in Lithuania. I'm not sure how he would have pronounced the Yiddish. But Schwarze Stur is my best take of what this is. Obviously, the first word means black. I don't know what the word shtur is. Shter, shtur, I don't know. But he says, someone has this blindness, Rachmana Litzlan. Achin is Yashu Kalarofim Limtsolo Mazor. The doctors have all given up hope. They can't find anything to do for it. Rak bir acha shel nachrim rotzim lekablo el hospital shel nachrim limtsolo refuah shel yiskalka or ein of legamri. There is a non-Jewish hospital in this town. That's how you spell hospital, apparently. And they're willing to accept him. And they'll treat him so that he doesn't lose whatever vision remains. He will be able at least to walk on his own. Ach, however, it's a non-Jewish hospital. He's going to have to eat treif. Madina, what's his status? Is he allowed, in order to save his vision, is he allowed to eat treif? That's the question. Clear? So he says, "Vize asher heishavti." This is what I told them. Hine lichora hayanira lahatir bipshitus. He says, first glance, I would say mutter. Why? There are mefurish b'shas because it's explicit in the Gemara. That's the Gemara that we talked about. Ube poskim ube simen zes if tes the cholei ha'ayin avisakanas kolaguf de shirayinu de'ini bildeina b'libatalia. He says, we say an illness of the eye is like a threat to the entire body because the eye and the heart are linked. Umuter l'chala Shabbos avura, and you could override Shabbos for him. Umikoshkein shari surim shehutru onid chulagabe, and certainly you could override other halachos that are overridden by Shabbos. In other words, if danger to the eye overrides Shabbos, and Shabbos overrides kashrus, then danger to the eye overrides kashrus. That's the argument. Ach, but then he says, kadaikinon ein mizeraya. He says, if you look further, you realize that doesn't prove anything. He says, the Gemara's case is where there's something physically wrong with the eye. Not that he's failing to see, but there's a physical problem with the eye itself. Maybe that's what the Gemara considers danger to the whole body. But this blindness, that's not dangerous to the whole body. Rak nidon kisakanas ever echel davad. That's danger to one body part. Umashma mikola poskim demalacha de oraisa lo dachin and b'shum inyan avur sakanas ever. And we don't override biblical law for the sake of danger to a body part. And he says ve'en lachalik bein sakanas sha'ar ever la sakanas ayin. Don't tell me that no danger to the eye is different from danger to other body parts and potential blindness is different. Don't bring me that based on that Gemara. Because he says, the fact that we needed to link the heart and the eye in order to say you can save the physical plant of the eye tells you that normally the eye is considered like any other part of the body. That's the idea. I'm jumping a little bit. If you see three lines up from the bottom, the middle of the line, Mihu. He says, Mihu, however, Kadaikinam, when we look closer, nira l'chalek bein ayin achas ushtei einayim. Maybe I should distinguish between blindness in one eye and blindness in both eyes. Kevin de latam echad. Okay, he goes all the way back to the Gemara that we saw in Yuma about why we override Shabbos to save lives. What was the argument, the winning argument in that Gemara? Remember there were like six arguments in the Gemara for how you know to override Shabbos to save lives? What was the winning argument? The Torah says, v'chai bohem, you're supposed to live by the mitzvos, v'lo sheyamos bohem, not to die by the mitzvos. That's how you know you override Shabbos to save lives. But there was a runner-up argument. Chalel Shabbos achas k'dei sheyishmor Shabbosos harbe. It was a math argument. Lose this Shabbos, one, so that he'll be able to observe many more Shabbatot. It's math. Exactly. So he says, well, since one reason why Pikuach Nefesh overrides Shabbos is because we want him to observe more Shabbatot, so just break this one so he can keep many more. He says Rabbi Yehuda's view in the Gemara in Bava Kamma is that somebody who is blind is actually exempt from mitzvahs. We don't paskin that way, but there is such a view. Uladas Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and the view of Rabbeinu Yeruchim brought in the Beis Yosef in Echos Pesach, Kaimalan Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, he follows Rabbi Yehuda. Flip the page. Unhidi Rova Poskim Cholkim Olav. He says, granted that most halachic authorities do not agree with this position. Mikomakom Ein Hochim Bikuach HaNefesh HaKaharov. When you're dealing with saving lives, I don't care what the majority say. I'm not following the majority. That's number one. And therefore, Yesh Lachosh Ladas Rabbeinu Yeruchim Desuma Pater, etc. V'imkein Yesh Lomar B'sakonas Sha'arei V'rdein Bo Bittel Torah Mitzvos V'chein B'gemar B'ayin Shemar D'demari B'ayin Achas D'bezeh Afim Lo Hayiya Lo Ayin Yechayev Mitzvos L'kach Nidon Rak Sakonas Eiver V'tzarech L'tam Bishum Davi Sakonas Kalaguf. He says, therefore, just to summarize what I just sped through, he says, this whole thing that we're talking about, where we're saying that for Sakanas Eiver, I wouldn't override Shabbos, that's because you're talking about losing a body part that doesn't involve losing your obligation in Torah and Mitzvos. The eyes are more serious. And therefore, one eye is like any other Eiver. But if he stands to lose the vision in both eyes, Maybe that's considered the level of pikuach nefesh, chalel Shabbos achas. And then he says, yeah, but back to earth. We don't paskin like Rabbeinu Yerucham. We don't paskin that a person who's blind is exempt from all the mitzvot. That's nonsense. Not nonsense, but we don't hold that way. But then he says, that's okay. We're on the fourth line, end of the line of this, you know, on the second side. Ve'af im neima deles man dechash lahad Rabbeinu Yerucham. Even if you'll tell me nobody paskins like Rabbeinu Yerucham, we hold that blind people are obligated in mitzvos. Still, mikol makom nira kaven dal yedei samius einayim yisbatal mitalmud Torah ukriyas haTorah. Since due to his blindness, he's not going to be able to learn Torah. He's not going to have kriyas haTorah. He can't read from the Torah. Vay amru chazal talmud gadol mimaisa.
It's my bad.
We say that learning is greater than doing. You need to be able to learn, he says. Lost my place. 1 second. Im kain im b'shvil ha'maisim mutav l'chal shabbos k'desh yish mor shabbosos harbe mikol shekain avur ha'talmud havakain. So if in order to enable somebody to observe Shabbos, to observe mitzvahs, we would override Shabbos, certainly in order to enable him to learn. So basically, his argument is, and he goes on in that vein, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but his argument is that if somebody is in danger of losing his sight, we don't call that sakanas eiver, we call that pikuach nefesh. That's the argument that the Chochma Shlomo, or Shlomo Kluger, makes. Now, Shlomo Kluger is known for his creativity. You have to know that about him. But look what the Nishmas Avram does now. Go back into the Nishmas Avram. We are one line up from the bottom on the page that has Shin Sadi as the page number. V'ayin b'hagas chochma shlomo al ha-shulchan aruch kan. See the chochma shlomo comment on the shulchan aruch. Shemekil gam b'sakonas ibud re'iyah b'shtei ha'inayim. He is lenient to allow you to break Shabbos where there's a risk of losing sight in both eyes. Af al pi she'ein kan sakona l'chol aguf. Even though the body is not in danger. But he says later on, see what we're going to write in Shin Chav Ches Chav Zayin, Sheladas post Gedoreinu, in the view of the postkim of our time, Asur liYehudi lavra al Yisurei Torah kol shebaru she'ein beibud re'iyah afilu b'ayin achas hasra l'sakanas nefashos. Dainu achre b'dikas rofei mumche. He says, we don't actually paskin like Rosh Shlomo Kluger on this. He says it's an interesting view, but the general view among the poskim of our generation is that if an expert doctor looks at this person and says that losing his vision is not going to cause him to be in danger for his life, then we're not going to violate deoraisas ourselves. Mind you, sakana zaver, a non-Jew can violate a deoraisa, but a Jew won't violate a deoraisa for him. Clear? Okay, so what else are we allowed to do for Sakanas Eiver? So he continues. He says, Isurei de'oraisa al yedei shinui. Violating a de'oraisa via a shinui. Meaning have a Jew do it. Re'e ma shekasabti le'el, and he says, see what I wrote earlier, on this topic regarding chol she'ein bo sakana. V'kan yesh lahakil gamim efshir litruach v'lasos ha'yedei nachri. He says, by a cholish ein bo sakana, we said we didn't want a Jew doing a de'oraisa with a shinui. That's not allowed. However, for sakanas eiver, no, you could have a Jew do it with a shinui. Even if you have the option of going to find a non-Jew, you could still have a Jew do it with a shinui. Okay. He then says, what about malacha shenitzvicha legufa? We made such a big deal about malacha shenitzvicha legufa with a cholish ein bo sakana. What about malacha shenitzvicha legufa for sakanas eiver? So he says, muva b'shmira Shabbos kehilchasa b'shem agon r'shlomo Zalman Orbach zatzal. Shmira Shabbos kehilchasa quotes r'shlomo Zalman saying, kevan delo nizgur lahachmir ela b'cholish ein bo sakana. We don't have any source to say that you should be strict regarding malacha shenitzvicha legufa for a cholish, other than for a cholish she'en bo sakana. It never mentions being strict for sakana zeiver. And in Simen Shin Beis, if you had the case of washing the baby, right? We said, Rowan de'ein ze kokach pashut etzlo. We saw it's not even so clear that we're strict regarding a cholish she'en bo sakana. How will, so he says, Lachein Nira, therefore it appears, Dim Yesh Sakanas Ever, that if there is Sakanas Ever, Ho'il ubiyoredeya simen kufnun zayin matir hashach besivkat and gimel lavor al isur Torah. Since the Shach says, this is a separate discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya. The Shach writes that I am allowed to violate biblical prohibitions in a case of Sakanas Eber. He's not talking about Shabbos now. He's talking about like Kashrus. The Shach holds that for Sakanas Eber, you're allowed to violate general prohibitions. Granted, Shabbos is stricter than Kashrus. You could be lenient for Sakanas Eber. So Malachas and Tzvicha Lagufa for Sakanas Eber will be allowed. That's the upshot. Okay, last paragraph. And this is the easy one. This is like you finished with your run and now you can just walk a little bit. This is just, what is Sakanas Eber? Ve'ayim b'ketos ha'sholchan. See the ketos ha'sholchan. We quoted him once before already tonight. Didino shel ha'sholchan aruch ulav davka b'sakanas ever mamash. Kolomer she'ever yafsik l'tafked l'gamri. When we talk about sakanas ever, that doesn't mean like the person's body is no longer going to function at all. That's not what we're talking about. Ela afilu yeshna rachashash she'ever lo yispaked k'mo eitzel kol adam. Even if it's just that, it won't function normally. Kigon, for example, sheyitzla al yirecho. He's going to limp. Having a limp for life would be sakanas ever. That qualifies. V'kas avli mori v'rabi rav noiver chlita v'yesh makom lomar shesakanas ever ein zo rak be'ever adam meramach everim shebo. There is room to argue, we had this conversation, that sakanas ever is only if you were talking about one of the 248 from that Mishnah in Aholos. But he says, the other way around. He says, some say that Sakanas Eber is not one of the 248 only. Ela kol chelek misuyam shel guf ha'adam, but any uniquely identified part of the body, asher im lo yitap lubo ke'es, which if they don't treat it right now, yesh chashash she'yitzei mipu'ula so, that it could stop being functional. Gam ze nikra b'shem sakanas eber. That's called sakanas eber. And therefore he says something wild. Kigon, for example, rechem ha'isha asher mitafkida leledes yiladim im lo yitaplu bo karo'ule yedilekichas trufos kayem chashash letuchal yikanes leherayon. What if there's a woman who is not able to conceive unless they give her medication which will enable her to do so? So would she be allowed, would you call that sakanas ever, to enable her to take that medication on Shabbos? Gamze nekra b'shem sakanas ever. So Rav Neuver quotes, brings this idea. I thought he was quoting Shlomo Zalman, but he's not. But Rav Neuver himself says, you can make the argument that that's sakanas ever, because this won't function unless you treat it. Now, where I'm not entirely sure is, we say it's that it won't function permanently. So if you'll tell me she needs to take medication today, and if she doesn't take it today, it's never going to function. That's one thing. But otherwise, she can, are we talking about a woman who's trying to have, IVF and needs to have the medication at the certain point in her cycle? She could wait till the next cycle. But maybe that's a risk. Maybe she's already at a point age-wise where that's not a given that she can do that. I'm not sure about the application of what he's saying here. But he's teaching us that you can have a broader definition of sakanas ever. It's not just the person's finger needs to be reattached. It's a much broader category as he's framing it. Clear? Okay. So I think what we'll do next time is Chol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana, where he has a lot to say. And then he's going to go into a whole range of issues, Safek Sakana and the like. And then it gets to some practical cases, although that won't be next week. He's got practical cases coming up also. Just a heads up, tonight's the 9th. So the 16th is going to be a regular shiur, God willing. The 23rd, I have a special shiur. There's a physician's network that asked me to give a shiur on attending medical conferences on Shabbos, which Rabbi, you may remember, I did it many years ago at Shari Shamayim. This had to have been like 12 years ago, 12 or 13 years ago. But in any case, they asked for that. So I'm going to do that on Monday night, the 23rd. And you're all invited to participate. I'll send out the information on the email. Okay. Thank you very much.